Good morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship God. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we appreciate your presence. We meet again this evening at 5 p.m. and you're certainly welcome to come back at that time. It's good for all of us to be here to worship God. If you'll turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 11, we want to take our lesson from a text of Scripture there in verses 12 through 14. And the occasion is the opportunity that Jesus had there in Jerusalem, where he passed by and saw a fig tree, and what we call the cursing of the fig tree in Mark chapter 11. And when you read this particular story, you find that it is Jesus' final week right before going to the cross, most likely about Tuesday of that week. And we're going to pick up the reading in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, if you'll read with me together. And we want to look at this story for our admonition this morning. In Mark chapter 11, Mark records in verse 12, "And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, No man eat from thee henceforth forever. And his disciples heard it." If you'll come down with me now to verse 20. "And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Of course, the parallel account is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. When I read the statement in Mark chapter 11 and verse 13, nothing but leaves, I think about the fall. I think about that place that we have out there. I've been trying to rake leaves for the past few weeks, you know, cut them, rake them, get them off somehow. Every year in the fall, I think about this verse, nothing but leaves. And out there in the yard, that's all I see. And they can get a foot high, nothing but leaves. Now, am I ever going to get them picked up? But the story here is not about the fall and the leaves on the ground. The story here is about a fig tree that had leaves but no figs. And that's what we want to look at this morning and make some application for our lives. If you'll look at the story, especially beginning in verse 21, the next day, they went home that night back over to Bethany, and then they came back into the temple the next day. On the next day, Peter and the others say to Jesus, "Look at this fig tree that you cursed the day before." And verse 22, he answered, "Have faith in God. Whatsoever you will say to this mountain, be thou taken up, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe it shall come to pass." The primary lesson that Jesus follows up with here is that I said to the fig tree, cursed, and it was cursed. And the next day they acted kind of like, wow, that actually did wither away. And so Jesus uses this lesson that if you have faith that something is going to happen, it will happen. And when you pray, you need to pray with that. Don't pray with doubting. In fact, James brings this up in James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, that we're not to pray and then doubt as if God is going to do anything. James says that we become a double-minded man and we're unstable in all of our ways. We need to pray in faith and pray not doubting. If we pray according to God's will, James 1 John 5:14, and if we don't pray with selfish motives where we're going to spend it on our own selfish desires, James 4:1-2, then when we pray, we need to believe that God will answer that prayer. We don't need to have doubt. And that's really one of the central lessons that Jesus wants to teach here. But there's another lesson that can be gained from this story, and that's the one I want to focus on this morning. And it has to do with this matter of Jesus seeking fruit and finding none. If Jesus were to examine your life this morning, would he find leaves or would he find fruit? And that's what we want to look at this morning by way of admonition. And I believe it's another important lesson because there's other passages like the scripture reading that we had this morning. We're going to look at later in Luke 13. We're going to go back to that. Where God is seeking fruit. And he's seeking fruit in your life and in my life. But what we're going to find this morning is that people are good talkers. They talk real well. And they say things. And they make excuses. And they have reasons and whys and wherefores. And they got all those beautiful leaves out there. But when you look through, there's no fruit. There's no fruit. Just good talk, but no action. And so what we want to look at this morning is this important lesson that Jesus is looking for fruit. We need to be careful, brethren and friends, that we're not just simply offering up words without some works, some action behind it. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? You ever thought about that? Because he was seeking fruit and he found none. He's not just passing out miracles to be passing out miracles. He's not walking through town, you know, I need to work a miracle today. And so I'm going to curse a fig tree, just, you know, something to be doing. He wanted something, he didn't find it, and so he cursed it. And with regard to our lives, he's looking for fruit, not leaves. He doesn't want profession. He wants performance. But we talk real well, and we know how to profess things, and we know the right things to say at the right time. But do we actually get up and do it? We would say today, all talk and no action. And just like James has something to say about we need to pray and not doubt, James also has something to say about this very matter. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, James says, if a man has faith and not works, can that faith save him? If a man shall say, go and be filled, but he doesn't give what's actually needed, then he's just saying something. Profession without performance. Words. Without works. And so this morning, we want to look at this important lesson that Jesus is looking for fruit. Now, come back with me to Mark chapter 11. We want to look this morning at three things: what Jesus sought, what Jesus found, and what Jesus did. First of all, what Jesus sought. What was he seeking? What was he desiring? The text says that he was hungry. They got up that morning. They were staying out at Bethany. They're walking into Jerusalem. He's hungry. When we get up in the morning, we're hungry. He was hungry. This shows his humanity. There are some things that Jesus did. Crying, hungered, weary by the well, John 4. That shows his humanity. And so he's hungry. He wants something to eat. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Now, let me talk about that for just a moment, and then we'll move on. Look at that statement there, for it was not the season of figs. Well, Jesus, why are you looking for figs when it's not even the season of figs? So, if you look at the commentators, that has been explained in a number of different ways. For example, would you and I in Middle Tennessee, would you and I be looking for apples? The Lorenzes have some apple trees. We have an apple tree. Are we going to go out there looking for apples in February? January, February, going to be looking for apples? Don't we know when apples come about? You might have some little ones left over. I'm talking about, you know, when apples normally come in. We're not going to be looking for them at the wrong time. We know when the apples come in. Do you think Jesus knows when figs come in? Sure, he would know that. He was raised in that area. So why is he looking for figs when Mark says it wasn't even the season of figs? That makes him look kind of dumb. And some people have actually raised that point that, you know, Jesus didn't know what he was doing, and this story is not accurate because it doesn't even make sense. There's a couple of suggestions that have been offered. First of all, some suggest that there was a variety of figs that actually put out its fruit first. That came on first, and then some leaves started coming out. And if this was that particular variety, then Jesus had good reason to go over and look on it, because he would have known that variety. And if he saw leaves, then the fruit comes first on that variety, then he would have been well in his means to go over there and look for fruit. And that's one possibility. Different varieties of fig trees. Another suggestion is that this is about April of the year when the Passover is. Fig trees began to actually put out first fruit in March and April. It wasn't the fully ripe fruit that would come on in June, but there was something there. And Jesus was hungry. And it's the idea of I'd rather have something than nothing at all, even if it might be something kind of bitter. The third suggestion is that this is sort of a spiritual thing where Jesus knew that there wasn't any fruit on it, but went over there anyway just to teach a lesson to his disciples that I'm hungry, I'm seeking fruit, and I don't find any, and so I'm going to curse this fig tree, and is using it sort of in a spiritual lesson way. I really think just the natural reading of the text would probably lend itself to the first or the second option, where there are times when there's early figs, whether it's because of the variety or just small little things that have started, and I want to go get something to eat. It wasn't the season when things are fully ripe. That's later in June. But there is something there. And I'd like to get something to eat. I'm hungry. I believe that's the best explanation. Jesus isn't just doing this to be doing it. He's not just cursing a tree because he's upset or mad. He has good reason to curse the tree. He has good reason to believe that there is something there. Okay? And it's not there, and so he curses the fig tree. So the first lesson that we want to learn this morning is that Jesus is looking for fruit. And when you look at the Jewish nation in general, he came to his own people, John chapter 1. He wanted them to be bearing fruit. He wanted them to be obeying the Lord and coming to the Messiah, and he didn't find it. The majority of Jews at this time, there was a small remnant that believed in him and followed him. But the majority of Jews at this time, especially among the scribes and Pharisees and the leadership, they were not bearing fruit. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. It's not figs here, it's grapes. But there are passages in the Word of God where God's people are described as a vineyard or plants that are supposed to be bearing fruit. And when they don't do that, God removes them. This is Israel of old, Isaiah 5, 1. Let me sing of my well-beloved a song, my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard, Israel, in a fruitful hill, and he digged it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. He cared for Israel. He fertilized it. He worked it. He worked to make it grow. He hewed out a wine press there, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. O now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge I between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? God is saying, I've done everything to you people, and you're not producing good fruit. Verse 5, I will tell you now what I will do. I will take away the hedge thereof, that's the protective wall, and it shall be eaten up. And just a few years after, about 20 years after Isaiah prophesied, the northern kingdom went into Assyrian captivity. A couple of hundred years later, the Babylonian captivity. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, if you'll turn with me there, Jesus teaches the parable of the vineyard and how that God planted a vineyard, his people, the Jews, and they rejected those who were sent. Matthew 21, 33. There was a man that was a householder who planted a vineyard, God. He planted his people, Israel, and set a hedge about it. He protected Israel for hundreds of years from the time of Moses on down, and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into another country. God is waiting for Israel to bear fruit. And when the season of fruits drew near, he sent his servants, the husbandmen, to receive the fruits. The prophets came and expected something, but they didn't find it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one of them and killed another and stoned them. Israel rejected the prophets. They rejected John the Baptist. And again, he sent another servant more than the first, and they did unto them in like manner. John the Baptist, those in New Testament times. But afterward, he sent unto them his son, Jesus Christ. God sent the prophets to Israel. They rejected them. God sent John the Baptist. They rejected them. God sent his own son, and they rejected him. He said, surely they will show reverence to my son. But the husbandmen, Israel, when they saw the son, said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. And that's exactly what Israel did, along with the Romans to Jesus. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what shall he do unto the husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those miserable men, and will let out the vineyard unto another husbandman who shall render fruits in the season. If these Jews don't want it, then I'm going to give it to somebody else. And in the book of Acts, God to the Jew first, but then also to the Greek. God's vineyard is going to be for all who will come. And if those who don't want it, they're going to be rejected. Jesus came seeking fruit from the Jewish nation. But closer to home this morning, Jesus seeks fruit from us. Turn with me to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, in the parable of the vine and the branches, this is not teaching denominationalism. Our denominational friends turn to John 15 to try to prove that all churches today are fine. So the branches are churches. So all of the churches are connected to Jesus. That's why you can be a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Methodist. And they use John 15 to teach that all branches are all denominations. No, it's not. Read it carefully. The branches are individual followers of Christ. They're not denominations. Individual followers of Christ. Jesus is expecting fruit from them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is seeking fruit. Verse 3, already you, his disciples, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. This doesn't represent all denominations today. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can you, except you abide in me. Individual disciples must abide and follow in Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you, not denominations, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. We're going to get to that later in the lesson. What does Jesus do when he doesn't find fruit? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein, now look at it. Herein is my Father glorified. This is what honors God. That you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Jesus is looking for that in our lives today. But the question is, like this fig tree, what does he find when he actually gets there? We know what he's seeking. What does he find? In the scripture, fruit is symbolic of obedience and good works and things that we need to be doing. Paul talks about fruit unto holiness. When we get up each day and we talk in a holy way, in a separate, clean speech, clean living, holy living, it's fruit. We're to bring fruit unto God, Romans 7, verse 4. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control, kindness, gentleness, those things. That's what we're supposed to be bearing, not just talking about it. It's not just something you talk about in Bible class. It's not just something we talk about in the sermon. We bear it each day. We're actually doing it. Fruit. Not just talking about it. Galatians 5:22, Ephesians 5:9. The fruits of righteousness. Paul talks about this in Philippians 1:11, the Hebrew writer. Hebrews 12:11, James 3:18. Each day we get up and we live according to the righteous principles set down in the Scripture. We're bearing fruits of righteousness. Good works. Colossians 1:10. Fruitful in every good work. Not word, just saying things, but we're going to get up and we're going to do it. The fruit of our lips, praising God, Hebrews 13:15. Fruit in the Scripture is literal, but it's also figurative of obedience and good works and righteousness and things that Jesus is looking for each day that we get up. Now the question is, does he see leaves or does he see fruit? Does he just hear words or does he see works? Does he hear profession or does he actually see performance? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We need to be actually bearing the fruit. But what did Jesus find? What Jesus found when he got there, what was it? Nothing but leaves. And when Jesus came to the Jewish nation, for the most part, all he found was a bunch of leaves. In Matthew 15, oh, they've got long robes, you see, and they're in the temple, and they've got these phylacteries, little boxes with scripture in it. Oh, they got all the leaves going on. But there's no fruit. And people who follow God, they know how to get the leaves. We know how to get the leaves. But Jesus is looking for the fruit. So in that scripture, in Matthew 21:43, Jesus says in that parable that we read earlier, when Israel had rejected all the prophets, and they reject John the Baptist, and they reject the Son, there's nothing left. Come down to verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. It's gone. There's no fruit. But look at chapter 23. They had prayers. And they had robes. They had all kinds of leaves. But there wasn't any fruit. And so Jesus says, on the outside you're all religious, but inside you're full of hypocrisy. On the outside you're like this white sepulcher, but inside you've got dead men's bones going on. And you kill all the prophets. They had all kinds of leaves, but no fruit. And brethren and friends, today we need to be careful about the same thing. This really is the heart of the lesson right here. That often what is found is not fruit from professed followers. What is found is nothing but leaves. Have you ever been around somebody, just even in a non-church or non-religious setting, where they really talk well? They know how to talk it. Whether, you know, maybe somebody you work with. I don't know. But you know that they're not getting it done. Oh, but they know how to talk it. We've been around people like that. And in religion, there is that which is going on. And so we need to learn the lesson this morning that we need to profess things, but we've got to have the performance to back it up. We need to be saying things with our words, but we've got to have the works to back it up. Jesus is not just saying, well, you know, I'm impressed with the leaves. That's fine with me. And he wants the fruit. Here's some leaves for you. Excuses for not obeying the gospel. Can't do this. And I know I need to obey. And I know what the scripture says. And I need to do that. And I'm going to do that. All that is leaves. That's all it is. Until you get up and show some fruit, that's all it is. And I've had Bible studies with people, and boy, they make the best comments. They'll quote scripture. They'll make comments about God and the Bible that are all positive, and then they just never obey. Nothing but leaves. excuses for not attending services. When we could be here, but we choose not to be here, and then you go talk with the person, everything that is said, it just leaves. They know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, all the whys and wherefores. You don't understand, there's this going on, there's that going on. But we wouldn't dare miss something at work, or we wouldn't dare miss something else that we have planned. But you don't understand. All the leaves going on. Why I can't give. Well, you know, I had money, and then early in the week I spent it on this. And then I spent it on that, and you just don't understand. Come Sunday, I just didn't have anything left. It's almost as if Sunday is the seventh day of the week. You ever thought about that? Come Sunday, I didn't have anything left. Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Sunday is the first day of the week. That's when you're supposed to plan ahead of time and use it for that. But we act as if it's the end of the week while there wasn't anything left over. I had to buy this and I had to buy that. Excuses for not living right. The devil made me do it and it was just too great. No, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God says that He provides a way of escape that we can bear it. There is no temptation that we cannot bear. But then we say, well, it was just too great for me and I had to lie, I had to cheat, I had to do this or do that. All that is leaves. We know the right things to say and the right time to say it, the right way to say it, but it's just leaves. We're not going to invite people to services. We're not going to try to set up a Bible. Well, I just don't know anyone. Really? We don't know anyone? I just don't have the time, and yet we have time to do other things. I just this and I just that. And all that is leaves. Jesus looks right through all of that and just, well, is there any fruit in there? No fruit. Another lesson that we need to learn from Jesus is how perceptive He was. People today would just see the fig tree and they, oh, I'm fine with the leaves, and they just keep walking. Wait a minute here. Is there any fruit in there? We need to learn to be perceptive like Jesus. We need to learn to investigate. We need to go deeper than just the surface of the leaves. Today, many I'm happy with the leaves. Jesus is also teaching us the importance of getting to the root of the matter, the heart of the matter. He had reason for cursing this fig tree. I want some fruit and I'm not seeing it. Let's look at a few other things. Let's be careful about the leaves. We're all here this morning and that's good. Well, I'm going to go to worship today. And we're there. And we're going to talk this evening about a proper worship attitude that we can learn from even those who are in heaven. We're not just here in body. We're not just here going through the motions. Well, I went to worship today. I went to church today. But was I really worshiping in spirit and in truth? Was my mind engaged in really what was going on in the prayers, in the singing, in the Bible study, in the Lord's Supper, you see? If I'm just going, but I'm not worshiping in spirit and truth, then it's just leaves. If I, well, I took the Lord's Supper yesterday. I took it. Well, we all take it, but were we discerning the body and the blood? Were we thinking, or was our mind on something else? Well, if it was, it's just leaves. Just some motions. It's a lesson to encourage us to have the fruit in addition to what we're saying and other things. We may be giving, but is it as we've prospered? Is it as we have purposed in our heart? Is it as we have set aside, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, or is it just whatever we got, you know, we dig down in there, whatever we got, we throw it in. Well, we got leaves, but is it really genuine behind all of that? The attitude and the disposition and the motivation, and like in the case of the Lord's Supper, using our mind to discern, or is it just bodily actions, you know, breaking off some bread and putting some grape juice? There's got to be that which is behind it. That is important as the act itself. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We've studied this recently. Jesus, each time he comes to the seven churches of Asia, he says, I know thy works. It's like Jesus walking up to the fig tree and looking past the leaves and to get in there and see if there's any fruit in there. Jesus looks at congregations and he knows exactly what is going on. And he either commends them or condemns them. He doesn't just look at stuff on a surface, kind of like driving by. Well, that's a good church and keep driving. No, no, no. We're going to stop and look at some things here. And when he comes to Sardis, what does he find? He finds no works perfected or completed that had a name that they were living. All kinds of leaves. But I have found no works of thine perfected or completed fruit. Maybe they talked about how they were going to get a bunch of stuff started and they never did. Maybe they talked about it and got it maybe kind of started, but they never finished it. All talk and no action. I'm looking for works that are completed, Jesus said. Not just, well, you got a name that you're okay. What about commending the sermon but not applying it? Turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Good sermon, preacher. Good sermon, preacher. And I appreciate genuine compliments. And I believe that when brethren compliment me here, there are things that are said about me and my preaching in prayers and comments after the sermon that I believe are wholly genuine, not like what we're about to read here. But what we're about to read here does happen other places. I'm appreciative of those who commend me and build me up through prayer and otherwise. That is extremely encouraging to me. Thank you for that. Ezekiel is talking about those who just offer this empty commendation. Well, good sermon, preacher, but they don't go out and apply it. So they got all the leaves going on, all the right things to say, but there is no applying it. As for thee, son of man, verse 30, Ezekiel 33:30. The children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what the word that cometh from Jehovah. And they come unto thee as people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one of them that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Good sermon, preacher. Boy, you sound like a beautiful instrument today. James says that we need to be careful not to be hearers only and not doers. Got all the leaves going, but no fruit. And then one last illustration and we'll move on. Have you ever known of anybody? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. They're sorry for what they've done. You know, I'm just sorry for what I've done. But they keep doing it. And you know, I feel bad. I feel badly about that. And I shouldn't have done that. And then the next day they go back and do it again. Nothing but leaves. There's sorrow. And there's remorse. And I shouldn't have lived that way. And I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry. And then they just go do it again. And then they say it, sorry again. And then they do it again. And they say they're sorry, they just keep doing it. What is it? A bunch of leaves? And Paul actually talks about the difference between godly sorrow and sorrow of the world. Sorrow of the world is where, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Were you going to change? No, but I'm sorry. But then there's godly sorrow, and Paul says godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's the difference between getting up and actually changing and just leaves. So let's read it. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 9. Paul had rebuked them in the first letter for harboring the fornicating brother. 1 Corinthians 5, he rebuked them for that. You should not be harboring the fornicating brother. You are to deliver such a one to Satan. And he rebuked them for that. Well, that letter made them sorry that they had done that. But it was a godly sorrow where when they read that letter, they had remorse and sorrow. We shouldn't have been doing that. And Paul's right. And Paul's letter wants us to make a change. And we're going to get up and make a change. And so they had godly sorrow that caused them to get up and stop doing what they were doing. Verse 9, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorry, just like in and of itself, sorrow for sorrow's sake, but that you were made sorry unto repentance. They cleared that matter up. And that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For you were made sorry after a godly sort, that you might suffer loss in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. A repentance which bringeth no regret, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's two different kinds of things going on here. One that makes you get up and change, and the other one's just like, well, I'm sorry what I did. But it just doesn't do anything. It's going to lead to death, sin, death. Do we have leaves or do we have fruit in all of these areas? The story is negative in nature. The lesson somewhat this morning is negative, but actually it's to be positive, to encourage us to have the fruit. What Jesus did, he cursed that tree. Peter and the others come back the next day, wow, this tree actually is withering up. It was unproductive, and that's why Jesus did that. And Jesus cursed the unproductive Jewish nation. John the Baptist in Matthew 3:8 said, when these Pharisees are coming to him down there at the Jordan to be baptized, he says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You come on down here and you have no desire to make any changes. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They come waltzing down there to see what's going on. They had no intention of changing. And he said, if you really want to be right with God, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. But at the end of the book, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, this city of yours is going to be brought low because you won't change. They were given opportunities to change. But when they wouldn't bear the fruit and they just smugly went along every day in their own pride and hypocrisy, then in AD 70, God judged them and brought their city down. Matthew 24. Turns me to Luke 13, the scripture reading that Brandon had earlier. God gives us time to bring forth fruit, but there's going to be a cutoff day. There's going to be a cutoff day. And we have an opportunity to get past all this leaves, all the excuse making, all the whys and the wherefores. We need to grow up and mature and get past all of that and actually start bearing some fruit. Get past this, well, I'm just going to go on the leaves thing. Jesus is looking for the fruit. Luke 13:6, he spake a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon. That's exactly the parallel with Jesus in Mark 11. Number one, Jesus seeks fruit. What does he find? And found none. What did Jesus seek? Number two, what did Jesus find? And he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. About how long did Jesus teach? About 3 years, didn't he? How long does it take to get up and make some fruit? Oh, I need more time. We know what we need to do. Just start doing it. But God is long-suffering and He gives us time. But that's going to come short. 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Oh, God doesn't care. He just wants the words. No, he wants the action. Why does it cumber the ground? It's just wasting space. It's just taking up the ground. Something else could be put there that's actually producing fruit. And answering saith unto him, Lord, leave it alone this year until I dig about it and dung it or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit thenceforth, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. There's going to come a day when we're no longer patient. We're just giving you time to make some fruit. That's it. I'm obviously showing that we're not making fruit. And God knows what that time is. And he did that for the Jewish nation at the end of the book of Luke. Luke 21, he talks about the fall of Jerusalem. And Jesus will do the same with us. When we're not bearing fruit, Matthew 7:19, we're cut down and thrown into the fire. And in John chapter 15, verse 2, and again in verse 6, when we as a branch are not bearing fruit, we're removed from the vine and we're cast into the fire. What was Jesus seeking? Fruit. What did he find? None. What did he do? He cursed it. Nothing but leaves. This morning, brethren and friends, I want us to think about our life. Is it really fruitful, or for the most part, is it just, you know, good talk? We know what to say and when to say it and how to say it to get us by each day. We do that with our parents. We do that with our spouse. We do that with the preacher. We do that with the elders. We do it with our boss at work. We know what to say and when to say it and how to say it so we have these leaves and get us by another day. No, Jesus looks right through all of that. He's looking for the fruit or the lack thereof. And so this morning, I want us to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want us to hear that. And in the judgment day, Matthew 25:23, I want us to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want us to hear, depart from me, ye that are cursed. He cursed the fig tree. The unproductive fig tree is cursed. I don't want us, brethren, to hear that. I want us to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So this morning, if you need to show the fruit with regard to truly obeying the gospel, get up and show that. If we need to improve in our attendance, no more talk, just change it. More service in the local church, getting some sin out of our life, whatever the case might be, doing more personal work, living right this week, better contribution, better attendance, obeying the gospel, whatever it is, no more leaves. We've learned this morning that that doesn't work with Jesus. Fruit. And if it needs to start this morning when we stand and sing this song of invitation, you show your fruit by getting up, coming down, letting your needs be made known. We're going to baptize you into Christ scripturally, and we're going to have some fruit. No more talk. And when someone comes to us and tries to help us with our personal life, no more excuses. Nothing but leaves. That's not going to be our philosophy anymore. We're going to show fruit. We're going to show fruit. And if we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing?